Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Nearly 80,000 urban homes are needed to meet the needs of Ireland's growing population over the next 5 years. Now, that's according to the government's advisory body, the Housing Agency. Minister Joan Burton gave her response to these figures earlier.
I actually think that's a really positive challenge for the government, because 80,000 new homes equals an awful lot of construction workers going back to work. We've had very detailed discussions about this at Cabinet. We're just putting the final touches to a construction plan. Construction has fallen in Ireland from being about a quarter of all economic activity to at the moment being only about 6%. I think that with the appropriate supports and working with construction, helping construction workers get back to work, we can actually increase that. I would hope over a period of time to double that to 12 or 13%, which would be the norm for a country like Ireland.
So if we need to start building again, where do we need to start building? Tom Parlin is Director General of the Construction Industry Federation. I'm also joined by the Green Party politician, architect and lecturer in planning, Kieran Cuff. Kieran Cuff, the Housing Agency telling us that we need a minimum of 80,000 homes over the next 5 years. But how vital is it that this undersupply be addressed very quickly?
Well, I think it is crucial, because we see a significant rise in rents that people are paying, particularly in Dublin and Galway. And I think we've got to get the housing supply going again, but in the right places. Now, when the Greens were in government, we brought in the 2010 Planning Act, which did, I hope, curtail the kind of excessive rezonings that we had had over the years. So hopefully the kind of developments we'll see will be more likely to be closer to public transport, closer to where people work, and that's a good thing. The other good news is that actually there are a lot of sites in the greater Dublin area that are not only zoned but also have planning permission and are ready to go. I'm thinking of sites like Adamstown in West Dublin, Pellettstown along the Royal Canal. There are good sites right beside good, high-quality public transport. They're the sites I'd like to see developed first. But one of the challenges is that there is a move towards lower density development. And I think we have to be careful that we don't go back to the bad old days of low density semi-Ds from here to the furthest horizon, which would create the kind of urban sprawl that we want to avoid.
But those lower density semi-Ds tend to be the type of housing that people like. So how are you going to persuade them? You see, you know, we had a period of time right up to 2006, 2007, where shoeboxes were being built across the city, these tiny apartments. People had hoped to use them as a quick way of making a profit and moving out to the semi-Ds that you're talking about. That's the expectation of people.
Yeah, well, the problem was that a group of speculators saw these shoebox developers as a way to make money. They saw housing as a commodity rather than as a social asset. And that's where things went wrong over the last 20 years. Thankfully, the new apartment guidelines allow for much more generous homes in apartments, where you actually have a balcony you can go out onto in the few sunny days we get and look at the view, places that have adequate storage. Now, there is a move from the CIF and others to try and roll back on those new guidelines. But I think we need to encourage decent apartments, and also people can have homes and three bed homes as well, but perhaps, you know, in terrace form or a bit more close together. And I think the key to all of this is good design, because in the past we simply let builders get on with it, whereas now if you look at the kind of homes people want, they want well designed homes. That could be in an apartment, it could be in a terraced house, it could be in different types of form. But if we all decide to go for the three-bedroom semi or the detached house, it gobbles up more land, and it means that people will be reliant on the car, because you can't provide a decent bus
Kieran,
or train
you say,
service.
You say the key is good design, and nobody would argue with good design, but the key surely is going to be good regulation and good planning and controls and inspection.
I think all of those are crucial. And I think at the moment people are saying, loosen up the planning to get people building. But actually the problem is much more to do with the financial end of things. And I think there is a role to be played by Minister Noonan in moving towards the European kind of housing model. Instead of the boom and bust cycle, that we would get pension funds, we would get credit union funds, we would get solid funding going into housing on a year-in, year-out basis to provide a decent supply.
Okay, I'll talk to you further. I'll talk to you further,
regulation.
Kieran Cuff, about financing in a minute. But you said there in relation to the Construction Industry Federation that they were trying to roll back some of the newer guidelines on size and design and so on. Tom Parlin is with us. Tom Parlin, do you want to address what Kieran Cuff has said there?
Well, I'm surprised. I don't know what Kieran is talking about, because the CAF have totally endorsed and supported the new building control regulations, and we're currently in the act of introducing a construction industry register, Register of Ireland, which is the registration of all builders, which is going to set high standards in terms of their competence and their experience and their compliance. So,
what sort of teeth does that have, Tom Parlin, in terms of being able to implement it?
Well, at the outset, it's voluntary, but the government have said that they intend to make the register compulsory.
And will you support it being put on some sort of statutory footing?
Absolutely. We've worked together with the Department of the Environment over the last 12 months and with the Taoiseach's Department. And certainly the indications I get, it's been supported by all the professionals, by architects, by different other agencies. If they're recommending a builder now, they're saying, we recommend that the builder that you appoint, or it's not just a major builder, it's anybody who might be installing your windows or your flooring or any aspect of construction, that they will be registered in Siri.
Joan Burton said there, you know, this 80,000 new homes at a minimum over the next 5 years, it's good news for employment, it's good news for all of the construction workers who lost their jobs during the bust in this country. But remind us whether or not we still have the skill set in this country, whether we're still training up the right people or whether they've all left us.
Well, a lot of people have left because there just wasn't jobs. I mean, we lost 150,000 jobs in the course of the period, and we went from building almost 90,000 houses to just 88,000 last year. So we built about 9% of the houses we built 6 years ago. So it's been a major sort of fall over the cliff for the industry. But certainly we have the companies, and I'm told and I understand from my members, they're anxious to build now. The Taoiseach has said that I think 80,000 people on the dole have formerly worked in construction. So there's that capacity to take people off the dole.
Who are the developers? Who are the builders that are ready to go?
Well, the bulk of the builders are small businesses. And like they've survived on the clippings of tin over the last couple of years. They've downscaled and they've done bits and pieces, but they're anxious to go now.
Yeah, but are they, Tom Parlin, going to be able to build on a scale that may well be necessary if we're going to deliver the number of homes? I'm talking about the big developers who lost and got out of this country
and
ended up in
NAMA.
Are they going to come back?
Well, they've been lambasted. I know of one recently who appeared at a function announcing he was going to go, and like there was a very negative reaction in the media towards him. So I can understand why some of them mightn't be inclined. But on the other hand, they will come back if the opportunity is there.
They'll come back if there's money to be made.
Absolutely.
And have they cleared all the money that they owed now?
Well, look, that's... They won't obviously get further borrowings unless they've cleared. Some of them are working with NAMA and being funded by NAMA. And NAMA have committed to build 4,500 houses in the greater Dublin area, or to support the building of 4,500 houses. But the bulk of the units being built at the moment are infill sites. They're being built by smaller players because finance, and I heard the Minister for Housing this morning acknowledging that, finance is very, very difficult to source. Banks have offered some monies lately, but generally they're probably offering 50% of the finance, so the builder would have to finance the other 50%, and that finance is very scarce. And likewise, regardless of what you hear the bank saying about the numbers of mortgages that are being approved, it's pointless approving a mortgage of 150,000 if the house is costing 250, and the couple buying it haven't got the full difference in between. It's as good as a rejection.
So when we talk barriers to house building resuming, are we talking money?
Well, yeah, I mean, the price of the house now is at a different story. I mean, house prices have come back by 50% or 60% from the peak, and certainly there was scope for coming back. But I think generally second-hand houses that are being bought now are being bought less than the cost of replacement. So if some individual family firm that has a few quid and has the people available says, I'm going to chance building three houses, he's going to do his figures first of all. Mm. And he's going to be sure that when he has all of the expenses incurred, that the sale price is going to give him some return on his work and on his investment. And currently he's got to pay a very substantial levy to the local authority, which was based upon the high prices. He's got to pay a Part 5 contribution, which is a contribution, 20% of the land value for social housing. And he's got to, he's got other expenses. So those need to be adjusted. And I know the government, and I heard Joan Burton say again that the government have been looking at a construction strategy. It's been promised for a number of weeks now. And I understand that they understand all of the barriers that are there, and they say they will tackle them. But it won't happen a day too soon.
Kieran Cuff, you were talking about finance there, and I want to come back to you. You were talking about, was it a German model and a European model that we need to move towards releasing money from pension funds and so on? Will you explain further what you're talking about?
Well, very simply, in a lot of countries in mainland Europe, there is scope for a person's pension or a company's pension fund to go into housing, to provide the kind of steady state housing supply that is so badly needed. I don't think we should be completely reliant on the small builder or speculator to provide the kind of housing that we need. So I certainly think there are models we can look at from the Netherlands, from Germany and from Denmark. And that can even involve the local authority taking a share of equity, a bit like the shared ownership scheme. But I am a bit worried that looking at the kind of the seesaw that is going on in construction, in housing prices, that we might see a return to the boom and bust approach. I think we've got to improve the standard of construction. Tom Parlin talked about voluntary compliance. I think voluntary compliance is hugely problematic, to put it mildly. I think we've got to make sure that we comply with new building regulations that are looking for higher energy standards. And a lot of the kind of small builders may not be able to build at that quality of design and build. And one final thing that I think we should be thinking about is a site value tax, because a huge proportion of the price of a new home is in the site. And that's where speculators are making significant profits. So we've got to reduce the propensity to speculate. We've got to encourage good developers and builders into the market. And we've got to encourage in new forms of funding that can provide stable employment in the building industry.
All right. Kieran Cuff, thank you for joining us. Tom Parlin, Director General of the Construction Industry Federation, thank you as well.